The BBC presents Destination Fire. Chance in a Million. A story by Philip Levine with Robert Beatty as Q Barnaby, fire investigator.
Joe?
Sorry I'm late, Madge.
Oh, you are the limit. Those chops will be as dry as a bone. I know, a load came into the scrapyard just as you were going.
No, as a matter of fact, I dropped by your mother's.
Oh, did you?
Not a bean. Not a solitary bean.
Does that surprise you?
Do you know how much they paid out? 6,000 quid.
No.
The dividends in the paper. 6,000 quid for a farthing. Never give it credence, would you? First time on, picks out the teams with a pin and hits a top dividend. Oh, it's a chance in a ruddy million.
Well, it might be your turn next week.
It's not as though I'm asking her for anything. It's a loan, that's all. All Harry wants is 1,500 quid. And instead of lugging scrap around for 15 quid a week, I'm a partner. The scrap game's on the up and up. It's the opportunity of a lifetime.
Did you tell her that?
I talked myself hoarse, but she won't part with a sou, the selfish old...
Oh.
Honestly, you'd think I was a complete stranger. You're a daughter. Doesn't she care about you?
Now, come on, tuck into this, but don't blame me if it's cold.
Sorry, love. I shouldn't be taking it out on you. Only
Listen, I'll tell you what. You have lunch out tomorrow, and when I've done my shopping, I'll knit round to the bungalow and talk to her.
I don't want you bowing and scraping.
Oh, what's a little pride, anyway?
All right, love. Oh, get me a couple of batteries for me bike, would you? I keep forgetting.
All right. There are a few things I need. Scourers, flour, soap powder. Oh, and some turps. Now, cheer up, Joe. I might be able to persuade her. You never know.
I'm sorry, Madge. I just can't spare 1,500.
Oh, but Mum, with
Time
all that...
I've paid off the mortgage, had the decorators in and bought a few things. Well, I'll have got through best part of it.
Do you have to pay off the mortgage right away?
Well, interest rates are getting higher and higher. It'll be a weight off me mind.
But it's such an opportunity for Joe.
Well, you knew he hadn't a trade when you married him. Now, if you'd have listened to me...
Oh, don't let's start that again.
Well,
it was nothing to do with Joe. You just hated losing an unpaid servant, that's all.
That's a nice thing to say. Oh, now you've brought on one of me headaches. Pass me one of me pills off the dresser.
You can manage. Get them yourself.
Madge, come back here. Look, I'm sorry, Madge. Madge, you've left your shopping behind.
What's up, Joe? You all right? You're looking pretty groggy.
That was my wife on the blower, Harry. It's her mother. Died in a fire down at her bungalow.
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, go on, you buzz off then.
Oh, thanks, Harry.
Uh-oh, Joe.
Yeah?
Are you still going to be able to find that cash for the partnership?
Sure, you go ahead, like I said. I'll have that 1,500, don't you worry.
Mr. Barnaby's here, Inspector.
Bring him through, would you, Sergeant?
This way, Mr. Barnaby.
Well, thank you, Sergeant.
Hello, Q. I feel a bit guilty dragging you down here.
Well, I must earn that retainer. And while I'm about it, mind if I help myself to one of your cigarettes?
Oh, do. They're supplied by the Ministry.
I thought so. Dearest Bryant, aren't you joining me?
I've got to go easy. Tummy, you know.
Well, let's have the gory details.
Oh, yes. Well, let's see. A fire in the suburbs yesterday afternoon, bungalow at Wanstead. An elderly widow, Mrs. Foster, died in the fire. Wood structure, brigade couldn't get near the place, completely gutted.
Mrs. Foster live alone?
Yeah.
Invalid?
No.
Then why didn't she get out when the fire started?
Having an afternoon nap. The autopsy report mentions barbiturate. She'd taken a couple of pills by the look of it.
Were they prescribed?
Oh, yes. Checked with a GP.
Have you got the brigade's report?
Yes, here. As you can see, origin unknown. No coal or gas fires, and no electrical faults as far as they could tell. However, Mrs. Foster was a pretty heavy smoker. It's possible she might have dropped off with a cigarette in her hand.
She wouldn't be the first. Smoking in bed's about the most dangerous habit I know.
Yes, but I wish I was sure it happened in this case.
Why the doubts?
No ashtray.
No ashtray?
In the bedroom. Most smokers have one by them.
If she didn't, maybe that's the cause of your fire.
Habits die hard, and this woman was fussy and meticulous, and, well, there is one other thing.
I thought there might be.
It so happens that Mrs. Foster hit the jackpot last weekend.
Did she?
Nothing spectacular, around 6,000. There's only one daughter, married, lives a few minutes away.
Oh, you policemen have suspicious minds.
Well, put me out of my misery, there's a good chap. If you can tear yourself away from that lush office of yours and that charming secretary, I'd like your report as soon as possible.
There's no doubt we're at the right place.
It's lucky the fire didn't spread.
Come on, let's go. Robbie gave me a ground plan. Here we are. Yes, it's going to spread out. I think I've got the layout. Bedrooms along here.
Uh-huh.
Where it used to be. Good thing you brought your flat shoes.
Well, I'd hardly wear my stilettos, would I?
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Val. The fire didn't start by the bed or at ground level. The boards are barely charred. Now, that twisting in the door frame. Well, that's typical of rapid, intense heat, which must have swept in from what was obviously the hallway.
You think it started in the hall?
No, there's a greater depth of charring over here.
Hmm. What room's this?
You don't usually have a sink in the lounge, do you? Kitchen.
I suppose I ought to have known by the stone floor.
That's right, dear. No open fire, no boiler. The wiring looks pretty modern, too. And if a cigarette had set the table alight, it had burnt itself out on the stone floor.
You can make anything of this mess puzzles me.
I can see where it started, all right.
Where?
By this door from the kitchen to the hall. But how? That's the problem.
Something inflammable?
I can't smell anything. All the same, I'll take a piece back for Alec to look at.
What's this on the floor here?
Coming.
Looks like fine black spaghetti.
Yes, it does, doesn't it?
Ooh, it's sticky. Touch of colouring in it.
Yeah, red and cream.
Yes. What is it?
Haven't a clue. I think I'll just pop some in an envelope. There we are. Now look, though. I want you to pick up a taxi and get these samples back to Alec.
Righty-o.
I'm going to call on Mrs. Foster's daughter.
Excuse the state of the flat, won't you, Mr. Barnaby?
Of course. I'm sorry to call on you this time, Mrs. Selby. I know how you must be feeling, but it is necessary.
I've already spoken to the police.
Yes, I know that.
I can't tell you anything more than I've told them.
All right, if I leave my briefcase, sir.
Oh, yes, I'll shift those books.
Oh. I see we have similar tastes.
They're due back at the library tomorrow. I mustn't forget.
Never do to run up a fine, would it?
No.
Now, I suppose you've no idea how the fire could have started.
The fireman thought a cigarette.
Yes.
But Mum was so careful. If Joe, my husband, dropped a bit of ash, there was ructions. I can't believe she'd leave a cigarette lying about.
You were with her a few hours before the fire, weren't you?
Yes.
Forgive me, I know this is painful for
no,
you.
No, that's all right. Fact is, I left in a bit of a huff. She'd had a win on the pools, I expect you've heard.
Yes, I did.
Well, Joe needed a loan, but she said no.
What time did you leave the bungalow, Mrs. Selby?
About 1:45. I was upset, so I took myself to the pictures. The Royal. Mm-hmm. Programme finished about 4:30. Then I remembered I'd left my shopping at the bungalow, so I went back. It was awful. Fire engines, an ambulance, and then I had to identify her.
Yes, I understand. Did your mother use electric fires?
Yes. Not at this time of the year.
There was no paraffin stored on the premises or anything inflammable?
Not as far as I know, unless Joe had something in the garage.
Well, what, for instance?
Well, Mum let him use it as a workshop. He does a bit of carpentry and there's no room here.
He has a key to the garage, is he?
Yes.
There was a side door from the garage into the kitchen, wasn't there?
Yes.
Was it kept locked?
No, Mum used to keep her brooms and a mop in there.
I see. What furniture was there in the kitchen?
Not much. A few cupboards, table, and a couple of stools.
Mm-hmm. Now, the door leading to the hall, was there anything kept behind it or attached to it?
A coat hook with a couple of aprons, that's all. Why'd you ask?
Well, I'm pretty sure the fire started in the kitchen.
In the kitchen? I don't see how.
Well, neither do I at the moment. By the way, where does your husband work?
My husband?
I'd just like a word with him.
But he wasn't at the bungalow
yesterday.
No, but
yesterday. I just want to check on the contents of the garage. Did he keep any thinners there, do you know?
Thinners?
Yeah, you know, for cleaning paintbrushes.
Oh, I can't tell you.
Well, do you think I could have the address now?
Newton's Scrapyard, Station Road.
What next, Harry?
Are these steel girders? I want them over the other side. One at a time, they're a hell of a weight.
Okay, here goes.
That's got it, Joe. Take her up. Now, round.
Excuse me.
Now, 1 minute, John, will you? Round further, Joe. There, look up. Up the way, quick, for God's sake.
Oh. Yeah, mate, you're okay.
Oh, only just.
Gerda slipped out the ground. Sure you're all right?
Yes, yes, I'm fine. It just grazed me a bit. You, Mr. Selby?
No, here he is now. He was up on the ground.
Everything all right?
Don't worry. There's no harm done.
This gent's for you, Joe.
My name's Barnaby, Mr. Selby. I'm looking into the fire at Denton Road.
Oh, yes. Let's go into the hut, shall we? It's quieter in there.
Thanks.
Not much I can tell you. Last time I was round there was the evening before. Have you seen my wife?
Yes, I have.
I suppose she told you that I used the garage.
She did mention it.
Oh, kept nothing inflammable in there. No. Well, there were a few tins of paint, but I'd run out of thinners.
I see. Well, thank you, Mr. Selby. That's really all I wanted to know.
Welcome back. There's a cup in the pot if you want one.
Oh, good. Dish it up, will you, Val?
All right.
Oh, did you deliver those samples to Alec?
Yes, he's working on them now.
Good. Yes? Oh, Ellie.
All right if I come in?
Ever more welcome. How'd you get on with those samples? Strike oil?
Nope. Turpentine.
Turpentine?
From that kitchen and hall door.
You sure it's terps?
Flashpoint 95. Also check the refractive index.
Was there much of it?
No, I won't say that, but it's certainly present.
What about that gummy stuff from the kitchen floor?
Oh, a mass of carbon and hydrocarbons.
Oh, now, come on. Can't you do better than that?
Well, at a rough guess, I'd say it was polythene.
Polythene?
Plastic, to the less informed.
But any idea what it might be?
Who can tell? So many things made of plastic today. I could give you a list that long. Oh, but there is one other thing that might be of interest.
The smallest crumb would be gratefully received.
Well, both in that stuff on the floor and the sample from the door were some fragments of glass.
Glass?
Yes, I brought them down. Here, in this envelope. They're only minute. There. See?
This is glass, all right. Hang on to those, Alec.
Naturally. I'll give you my written report later.
Oh, thank you very much. Oh, Val, telephone Robbie and say I'd like to see him.
Here or at the yard?
Well, here if it's convenient.
You think it's arson?
Well, I can't say for the moment, but one thing I do know. When I was at the scrapyard, Selby told me about the contents of the garage before I even questioned him.
Well, perhaps he's got the second sight.
There's a much better reason. Mrs. Selby must have telephoned and briefed him.
Hello, Madge.
Oh, Joe, I thought you were going to ring me back.
Sorry, but I've been up to me eyes.
But did he come round and see you, that fire bloke?
Oh, yeah, nice chap. I don't know what you were worried about. He wasn't there more than a few minutes. All he asked me about was the garage.
Joe, somehow, I don't think they believe it was an accident.
Don't be silly. What are you talking about? Of course it was an accident.
Then why'd they keep asking questions? First the fire brigade, then the police, now this bloke?
Routine. I don't know why you're worrying. Sausages. Just what I fancy. Aren't you having any?
I'm not hungry.
Pass me the salt, would you, love?
I are. Joe? Did he ask you about the key to the garage?
No.
Well, he asked me.
Did he?
And he wanted to know if the door to the kitchen was left open.
So?
Well, don't you see what he was getting at?
No.
Oh, it seems pretty obvious to me. He was checking to see if anyone could get into the bungalow.
What are you getting all het up about?
Oh, for heaven's sake, Joe. Don't you know how their minds work? Here we are, barely making ends meet, and Mum with her 6,000 quid...
Oh, for crying out loud, you've certainly got an imagination, haven't you? You think the police suspect...
Joe, did you have any thinners in the garage?
Oh, there might have been a drop. Oh, I see. You think they'll believe that I came in through the garage, helped myself to thinners, and set light to the kitchen?
How do you know it started there?
Where?
In the kitchen.
I don't. I was only joking.
Were you?
Oh, come on, snap out of it. Oh, I think I'll clean my bike after supper. Don't worry, I'll do it on the landing. Oh, by the way, did you pick up those batteries for me yesterday?
Yes, I did, but
oh,
they're still...
Blimey, what am I thinking of? Of course, they were in your shopping basket.
What?
Must have gone up and smoked with the rest of the stuff. At the bungalow I'm talking about. Here, what's up, Madge? Are you feeling all right? You've gone as white as a sheet. Can I get you something?
No. No, I'll be all right. It's a bit warm in here. I think I'll take a stroll.
Shall I come with you?
No. No, Joe. I'd rather go by myself.
So my hunch was right, Q. The fire didn't start in the bedroom.
No, it was the kitchen, all right.
Now, let me make sure I've got the facts straight. Selby had access to the bungalow via the garage, and you found traces of touch on the kitchen door.
Yes, but what bothers me is, why start a fire in a room with a stone floor and a few sticks of furniture? It doesn't make sense.
Well, if the old girl was lying down, she might have heard him if he'd gone out into the hall.
And what about that stuff on the kitchen floor and those glass fragments?
Sounds to me as though he used some sort of device.
Made of polythene? That's heat-resistant. You couldn't set light to that if you tried.
But you'll agree Selby had a motive.
Well, that's in your province.
And I intend to move into it right away. Thanks for your help. Ah, a nicely timed vow.
What?
Be seeing you, Q.
Okay, Robbie.
He's getting sprightly for his old age. There's a call for you, Q. Mrs. Selby.
Oh? Oh, which one?
Number 3.
Hello?
Mr. Barnaby?
Yes? Yes, Mrs. Selby?
I'm sorry, but I must...
Something wrong?
I'd like to talk to you.
Well, go ahead.
Oh, no, not over the phone.
Well, what's it about? Hello? Hello? Mrs. Selby, are you there? Funny.
Were you cut off?
No, she just hung up on me.
Oh, it's Mr. Barnaby, isn't it?
That's right. I had almost given you up, Mr. Selby. I've been here on and off since about 7:30.
I'm sorry about that. I've been out for a drink.
Well, actually, it's Mrs. Selby I want to see.
Oh, look, would you like to come in for a minute?
Thank you.
I'm afraid my wife's gone.
Gone? Gone where?
Don't ask me. I got back about 20 minutes ago. I thought she decided on an early night, to tell you the truth, but she wasn't in bed. And then I found the wardrobe was empty. She'd taken her case and left.
Why should she go off like that?
I wouldn't know. We haven't rowed or anything. She was a bit edgy when I came in. I thought she was still upset about her mother.
Mm. When did you last see her?
About 6. She said she was going for a stroll.
She telephoned my office about 6:10.
Did she?
She said it was important, but and then she hung up on me.
That's odd.
I agree.
No, I mean her going out to phone. Why didn't she use this one? Oh, maybe that's her.
Mr. Selby?
Yes?
I'm Inspector Hackett.
I remember. Something happened to my wife.
Your wife?
Hello, Robbie.
Hugh. I didn't expect to see you.
Well, I had a call from Mrs. Selby, but she seems to have disappeared.
My business is with Mr. Selby.
What now?
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Selby, but in your statement to me yesterday, you said that on the evening before the fire, your mother-in-law refused your request for a loan.
Yes, that's no secret.
She also said no to your wife when she called at lunchtime yesterday.
That's right.
Yet when your employer, Mr. Harry Newton, got back from his lunch yesterday, you agreed to a partnership and asked him to draw up the papers.
So?
So where were you going to get the £1,500? Or did you know it was coming to you anyway?
Seems a fair question, Mr. Selby.
Look, if you must know, my mother-in-law changed her mind.
Oh?
You see, I needed a few tools from the garage. I was going to overhaul my bike. So after lunch at the cafe, I popped round. While I was there, the old girl came in. I gathered she'd had a bust-up with Madge, but was sorry about it. She said she was going to clear the mortgage with her winnings, but I could use the deeds to get a loan from the bank.
But you told me you hadn't been near the bungalow.
Yes, I know.
So you lied about it.
Well, I didn't want Madge to know I'd been back. And what with the fire...
Before you go on, Mr. Selby, I must warn you that anything you say will be taken down and maybe used in evidence.
Evidence? For what? Here, you don't think I had anything to do with that fire?
Please, I'd advise you not to say anything further. We'll take your written statement at headquarters.
Yes, I'm expecting him any moment, Robbie. Well, I'll give him your message. Yes, don't worry. I shan't forget.
Was that the phone?
Yes, Robbie. Oh. They haven't charged Selby yet. The files are with the Director of Public Prosecutions. But if they do, they'll need you as a witness.
Yes, I guess they might.
Well, the evidence is pretty damning.
I know. Motive, opportunity...
And he lied about his visit.
True, but I still have the feeling there's something missing.
Mm. Well, only Mrs. Selby. Robbie thinks she's got cold feet and run away.
I can't believe that. She was genuinely upset when I saw her. I got the impression that she was quite an intelligent young woman. In fact, believe it or not, she was reading...
Hmm? Reading what?
I wonder. That's an idea, anyway.
Hmm. Well, I might agree if you'd let me share it.
Look, first grab that telephone directory and find the number of the Wanstead Public Library.
Library?
And I want you to check and see if a couple of books are still out in Mrs. Selby's name. Well, that's the library, all right. Right over there on the right, see?
Is that the only way in?
Looks like it. Now all we can do is sit here and hope.
Hmm. You rarely believe she'll turn up.
Well, all I know is that her books were due today, and she hasn't returned them. And I didn't see them in the flat last night.
But if she's in it with Selby, she's hardly likely to turn up here.
Agreed, but supposing she wasn't?
Hmm. All right, let's wait. I dare say there are a type of ways of making a living... Still no sign of her?
Afraid not. How was the coffee?
Oh, it looked like coffee, smelled like coffee, tasted like, you going to grab one?
No, I think I'll just stay put, thank you.
I had no idea there were so many avid readers. Just look at them. I suppose you know it's almost 5:30.
Yes, and that's a hint if ever I heard one.
After all, she could hang on to the books for weeks.
I suppose you're right.
For all we know, she might have left London.
Aha, but she hasn't.
What?
That's her, in the green coat, going up the steps. Mrs. Selby!
Yes? Oh, Mr. Barnaby.
I believe you were anxious to talk to me, remember?
Yes, I...
Look, let's talk in the car, shall we? Well, that's Miss Crane in the back, my secretary.
Hello.
Hello.
I would still like to know why you telephoned me.
I've got nothing to say.
You know your husband may be arrested at any moment.
I told you, I've nothing to say.
The police know he was at the bungalow on the day of the fire.
Oh, I see. In that case, I may as well tell you I knew that, too. That's why I rang you last night, to tell you. When it came to the point, I couldn't. But I had to get out of the flat.
But how did you know he'd been at the bungalow?
When I went shopping, I bought some batteries. Then you remember I left my basket behind. Last night he mentioned he'd seen them, so I knew he'd been there.
Tell me, how many batteries did you buy?
Two.
And your shopping basket? What was it made of?
Red and white plastic.
What else was in the basket?
Oh, I don't remember.
Oh, please, Mr. Selby, this is very important. What else did you buy when you were out?
Well, flowers, some scourers.
Scourers? Wire ones?
Yes. Soap powder, dusters, some terps.
Terps, good Lord. Val, have you got four pennies?
Yes, I think so.
Then out you go. Call Robbie.
Yep.
Persuade him to be at my office in half an hour.
Where are you taking me?
Now, don't worry. You and I are going on a shopping tour.
And about time, Q. I've been waiting over 15 minutes.
Sorry, Robbie. I hope you put your feet up. Oh, excuse me. This is Mrs. Selby.
Mrs. Selby, but...
Now, before you start firing questions at her, I want to give you a lesson in elementary science.
You what?
Come on over to the desk. Bring that basket with you, Mrs. Selby, will you?
All right.
That's it. Now, let's get the batteries out. And one fine wire scourer. Now, I want you to see what happens when you connect up the batteries with the scourer.
Well, I'm waiting.
Don't be impatient.
Good heavens. Oh. It's glowing. It's getting red hot.
Now, just imagine what would happen if you stood a full bottle of Terps next to that.
It would explode.
Exactly.
Well, I still don't see...
These articles were in your basket. And my guess is that your mother must have moved it, bringing the scourer into contact with the batteries. Oh. She went to lie down, and later, when the Terps exploded, it set alight to her aprons on the back of the kitchen door. And all that was left of your basket was a black, sticky mess.
So... It was an accident.
That's what my report will read.
And I thought it was Joe. And all the time it was my fault.
No one can be blamed for a freak accident, Mrs. Selby. It was a chance in a million.
Yes, but I...
Now, I think if you smile very nicely at the inspector, he might be able to take you home.
That was Robert Beatty as Q Barnaby and Gudrun Ure as Val in A Chance in a Million, written by Philip Levine and produced for the BBC by Martin C. Webster.